of your Bibles this morning. Turn with me in 1 Chronicles, and we're going to begin in verse 10. It's 29:10. So again, remember why God wrote Scripture and why God chose the nation of Israel. He chose these people to write things, how he dealt with humanity. And he wrote it down so that you and I would gain the spiritual truths for what happened in their lives so that we would not make the same mistake. As you can see in our world, that's not happening. The general population of humanity is making the same exact mistakes to the point where God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Making the same exact mistakes to the point where God destroyed the whole world and kept eight through the flood. So you see, history repeats itself because man doesn't change. God says, I'm here to change man. I'm here to give them my nature and to walk in a spirit, in a new spirit, so that you won't carry out the desires of the flesh that you've been born with. So understand that when we read Scripture, it's not about stories. It's not just about history, but there's spiritual truths that are in each of these things that we talk about, and each of these things that we talk to our kids and teach our kids all the stories of the Bible. If you're just teaching them history, then you're really going to miss it. At some point in life, you need to begin not only in yourself gain the spiritual truths from Scripture, but also share those with those that are around you. So again, beginning in verse 10, it says, so David blessed the Lord in the sight of all the assembly. He wasn't ashamed. He was king of Israel, and he wasn't ashamed of who he was. He wasn't ashamed of God who made him king. He wasn't ashamed of the statutes of God, the commandments of God. And he blessed him in all the assembly. And David said, blessed are you, O Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Now again, in the nation of Israel, he was their father. And this is the problem that the nation of Israel had, is that because that God was their father, he thought that they were spiritual children. See, God is the father of us all, and we sense as that God is the father of creation. So in a sense, when you hear people say that we're all children of God, in a sense that's true. Because God fathered humanity, because he was the father of humanity, okay? So, but not the spiritual father, okay? That has to happen through a new birth experience in our lives for him to be our spiritual father. And it's only those spiritual children that gain the promises and access to eternity with him. It's not the natural children, it's the spiritual children. So we have to make sure that we understand that difference when we hear people saying that we're all children of God. We're not all children of God in the sense of spiritual in nature. So this is the problem that they had. So he said, our Father forever and ever. Yes, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, everything that is in the heavens and earth, yours is the dominion, O Lord, and you exalt yourself as head over all. I think this is something that our nation has forgotten. This is the reason why I can read those things that are happening in our world today with the global warming and this gender issue. I just can't fathom it. Just, again, you just look at your anatomy and you know what you are. You don't get to identify what you want to be in this world. There are certain things that are black and white, and the fact is that but this opens up a whole can of worms for everything. If I want to identify myself as a black man, I guess I can. If we start doing this reformation and giving all these people all this money that they don't deserve, then why can I not claim myself to be a black man if I want? See what this does is opens up what's real in the reality. You know, this suit is gray, but if I want it to be blue this morning, I'm wearing a blue suit this morning. Did you know that? Or a purple suit, because I just can do whatever I want to do, and I can just believe what I ever want to believe, and what I believe is true. Well, that's a lie from hell. That's a lie from Satan. That is not. God put specific things in place, and he wrote it very clearly in our scripture what those things were. And we have forgotten that he has dominion over all. We are in subject to him. He created us, and we exist because he allows us to exist. He created us for his good pleasure. He didn't create us so that he could be a genie for us. We're to be servants to Almighty God. We're to bless him as David blessed him by the way we live. And we live under the commandments. We live under the statutes of Almighty God. And that's exactly what he expects from humanity. And David is recognizing this many, many years ago. He says, both riches and honor come from you. He understood this, that it was not anything in his own effort. You rule over all, and in your hand is power and might, and it lies in your hand to make great and to strengthen everyone. You can't make yourself great in the sight of God. Now, in humanity, we have some folks that have made themselves pretty great, they think. But see, this physical life is soon over. And then what? If you're not great in God's eyes, if he's not made you great in his eyes, then all that you've accomplished on this earth is in vain. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. See, we have reasons to praise him, not only for this great gift that he's given us through his son, Jesus Christ, but the fact that he sustains us. He sustains our faith. And he gives us blessings. Sometimes they are physical blessings that he gives us. But if he gives you a physical blessing, it's not for you. It's to be shared by others. But who am I? Who are my people that we should able to offer as generously as this? For all things come from you, and your hand we have given you. So basically, when you get so proud of yourself because you give an offering or a tithe, you're not giving anything to God that God didn't give you. You're just giving back to God what he blessed you with. Okay? It doesn't belong to you. Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and render unto God the things that are God's. So basically, you pay your taxes, and then everything else God gets. And he even owns that you give to Caesar, too, just to kind of clarify that. And this is the point I want you to look at this morning. Many years ago, David wrote this, and it's amazing truth that we have forgotten today. Do you know how easy it is to get caught up into all the stuff that's going on in this world? I'm in Scripture every day. I go through the day praying without ceasing, and I still struggle staying focused on who I am and what my purpose is, and remembering this one fact. See, to live through this world, we got to remember this one thing, as David told the people. For we are sojourners before you, and tenants as our own fathers were. Our days on the earth are like a shadow, and there is no hope. Called as aliens in a strange land. When you become spiritually born again, this is not your home. You don't belong here anymore. And this is why you have these feelings of hopelessness sometimes, and just frustration and disgust. It's okay to have those feelings, but the most important thing is, what are you doing with those feelings? See, if we use those feelings and it becomes a hatred toward a certain group of people. See, we've used it in the wrong sense of what Scripture tells us to be. If we're to be a light to a world and salt to the earth and a lamp on a hill, then we must take and funnel those frustrations into the love of God instead of physically trying to attack what's going on. We are not going to stop. There's not going to be a revival. We're not going to stop what's happening. Okay? Don't don't send any money to these political organizations that's trying to stop any of this. It's not going to stop. It's not going to happen. It's going to happen. Why? Because God said it's going to happen. I just read it a few minutes ago. What's going to happen? And you're seeing it happen. You're seeing it lived out. But how are we to respond to that? Well, first of all, you have to remember that we're just passing through now. There's nothing here that we should want to hang on to. Why it's so important that you sit your children down these days and make sure you're addressing it. Well, they're too young. Well, they're not too young. Okay? Don't fall into that ideology thing that you're going to put them in a Christian school and you're going to surround themselves with Christian people and these kids are going to be protected. They will not be protected. Okay? The only way you protect them is you take the Word of God and you sit down with them. First of all, you must live your life. I like the passage of Scripture that Dale read this morning that as a pastor, he's supposed to lead as an example. I will never ask you to do anything that God has not asked me to do. I'm not going to sit here and have you do something and I'm not there or I've already done it. Okay? Well, you as parents, take this biblical truth in raising your children. Don't just tell your children what you should do and how they should live when they see you not living according to God's Scriptures. They don't see you struggling day to day, and you need to tell them why you struggle. You need to tell them why you mess up so that when they begin to grow and God begins to work in their lives to draw them to Himself, that they'll understand that this isn't just a prayer that they say, but it's actually a calling from God that they begin to hear because they're in Scripture. Let them read Scripture. Don't use these funny little books that they give kids. But use Scripture to teach them to read. They won't understand it, but it's okay. They don't have to understand it. God's writing it. We'll begin to write it on their hearts and their minds. And then when the Holy Spirit works upon them, they'll have a foundation that you just can't imagine the foundation that they will have. But see, this is not our home. And things should disturb us of what's going on. But we don't have to be folly to that. God has given us a different spirit that allows us to see through this thing. It just bothers me so much when I talk to so-called religious, the Christian people, the people that aren't children of God, that spiritual children of God, but those people that are religious in all these different denominations, and how they just get so worked up about what's going on in this world. And they're still working on that self-preservation of the flesh instead of strengthening the spirit, which then will allow the flesh to endure. That's how this works. This is how a child of God is able to get through all of this without becoming hateful and angry. It will literally eat you up. There's some people that are so eat up by being a Democrat or Republican and this battle between Democrats and Republicans. This is not a battle against Democrats and Republicans. This is against princes and principalities. There's a spiritual warfare going on. This is not anything physical, but it's showing up in the physical. But we understand that this is a spiritual thing that we're dealing with. Children of God, you have that responsibility to embrace the Scripture, and you have that responsibility to look into Scripture to see how you're to respond to these issues. Our days on earth are like a shadow, and there's no hope. Without God, there's no hope. Religion gives you a false hope. There's only one true hope. And that's in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided to build you a house for your holy name, it is from your hand and not ours. So they're getting ready to build him a temple. Of course, David wanted to build a temple. David finds out later he's not going to build the temple, that his son will build the temple. But David recognizes something very critical here. When I present myself as a holy living sacrifice to God, it's not me presenting it, but it's me presenting back to Him something that He's given me. Present yourself as a holy living sacrifice. And this is why so many people have this martyr syndrome as a Christian. They go out and they put themselves through all the stuff that God never told them to put through. They're sacrificing this. They're sacrificing this. They're sacrificing this. This is where Lent comes from, okay? You sacrifice for God. No. I can only give back to God spiritually what he gave to me first. I was dead in my trespasses of sin. I was an enemy of God. I had a wicked heart from my youth. And God has quickened me back to life through the Spirit that he's given within me through that new birth experience, which now I now give that back to him. This is why so many people have a problem with worship. They don't have the Holy Spirit in them. They're not giving back to God what God gave them. So they don't prepare for worship. They don't put on just the best they have to come in and give to Almighty God. Where two or more gathered in my name, Jesus says, I'll be in your presence. And to the anticipation that he is here this morning. And the anticipation that I'm going to present myself as a holy living. I'm just giving back to God, once again, what he gave me. I have nothing to give God that God will accept. There's nothing in the flesh that you can give God that he will accept. He only accepts what he has given you. And that's what, isn't this amazing, the truth that David knew, that all the things that you've given us, we didn't do it. You provided it. You gave it to us, and we're just giving it back to you. Amazing truth, isn't it? Let's look at Philippians chapter 3. We begin in verse 17. Paul writes to the Philippian church, he says, brethren, join in following my example. I can remember reading scripture when Paul says, I didn't have it all together yet. I don't know yet what I am. Paul has matured up since here. See, we sometimes think that God only chooses the mature in the world of the spiritual realm, that he uses them, but he uses each and every one of us, and through the use that he puts us through, that's how we mature. And Paul's now saying, follow my example, because my example is the example of Christ. He comes to that point in his life where he can now tell the church to do that. Join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. For many walk, of whom I often told you and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. See, if you're not born again, you are an enemy of God. The religious world doesn't look at it that way. If you're not a spiritual child of God, you are an enemy of God. It doesn't matter what you believe. It doesn't matter how many times you've sat in a pew. Doesn't matter how many sermons you've preached. You're an enemy of God if your nature is not that of God, which he's given you. But he gets frustrated. He's even weeping at this, that there are many who walk. See, it's all about the nature consuming the flesh, which causes the walk to be different. So you can kind of be a hypocrite and kind of walk and try to do the walk, but if the fruits of the Spirit and the nature of God is not in you, then you're a hypocrite. Do you know that? And that's what the world sees through so many religious organizations, is the hypocrisy of it, where you want to call my sin dirty, but your sin's okay. See, the church is just as guilty, today's church is just as guilty as the lost world of what we're reading in this gender thing. They're not dealing with the sins within the church. But yet they want to pick on everybody else's sin. Paul's weeping about this. Because you know why? Whose end is destruction. I don't know that we grasp that. I think we've become so comfortable and so hard of hearing, and our hearts have become so hardened that we don't realize the destruction that awaits someone that's not born again. And that's why religion comes along and tells you that they're in a better place. That Fido is waiting up in heaven to lick them on the face again. And so we gain comfort in lies instead of becoming strong in the truth. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, goes back to denying the self, doesn't it? Huh? See, we each and every one of us might need to look at our own selves this morning and see, is the true God of our life our appetite? No, I'm talking about eating. Could be eating. But I'm talking about what satisfies us, right? That's what an appetite is, right? And you go and you satisfy that appetite, right? Well, you know what happened? You know what satisfies the appetite of the human nature? Things of this world. You know what should satisfy the appetite of a child of God? The things of God. But their God is their appetite, and whose glory is their shame, who set their minds on what? Earthly things. So when you're setting your minds on this gender problem that people are having, or the global warming issue that's not a global warming issue at all, the glaciers have been melting for, I'm 63 years old, and as far as I can remember as a child, the glaciers were supposed to be done by now. We didn't have any glaciers anymore. You see, we just keep living lie after lie after lie. At each generation, the lies get worse. Because our minds are on earthly things. You want to be a miserable child of God? I'm talking about spiritual child of God. Put your minds on earthly things and you're going to be miserable. That's why I think so many people are unhappy and just not having joy anymore and lost the joy of their salvation because their minds are set on earthly things. We get so caught up in, the stock market. Am I going to have enough money to retire? I'm worried about the stock market. How many of y'all follow the stock market like it's some type of, you probably look at the stock market, some people look at the stock market more than they read Scripture. We set our minds on earthly things. We're going to be miserable. You can't walk and be a child of God and have your mind on earthly things. You better put them on heavenly things, especially in the days that we live in now. And remember this, he goes on to say this, for our citizenship is in heaven. You're a citizen of the United States? Is that all you are? I hope you're a citizen of heaven. And we need to start living like it, and we need to start acting like it. That's where our citizenship is from. You know, you all heard that thing, when you're in Rome, act like the Romans. Well, while you're on this earth, act like earth. I mean, that's totally contrary to God's word. Set your mind on heavenly things. Let it consume the flesh so you're not caught up in this world. Our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for our Savior. Do you eagerly wait for Him? Do you anticipate that tomorrow might be the day? If we would live every day like that was going to be the day of the Lord, we'd be different people. We'd be more true to who we say we are. If we would just take this one biblical truth and apply it to our lives. We are so caught up in all the worldly things that we can't even see heavenly and spiritual things. Our hearts have become so hardened by the deceitfulness of sin that we can't even begin to see through all the false stuff that's going on out there. We eagerly wait for the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Why? Who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory. By the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself. If you're being conformed to this world and not being transformed by the renewing of your mind, you now have the heart of God, the mind of Christ, and we're to present ourselves as holy living sacrifice to Almighty God, just giving back to him what he gave us. If you're going to live in this world, and this God allows you to live through all the stuff that's getting ready to happen in this world, you better embrace the truths of Scripture. You can either embrace it and deal with it from a spiritual standpoint, or you can go out kicking and screaming in the physical sense and be miserable. People say, "Do you get upset about these things?" And I said, "I don't even know what you're talking about." But when I get off track and I start looking at the physical, like I say, I'm in the Scripture every day. I pray without ceasing every day, and I still get off track. But it's that next day that I read in the Scripture that he reminds me, or something happens in my life to remind me that I am not my own. I was bought with a price. My body is the temple of God. I am here to serve others. I'm here to serve him. It's not about me, but it's about him.